Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Monday afternoon, April 28th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Domestic airfares are falling as travel demand weakens. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the busy week ahead on Wall Street includes a boatload of earnings, including four members of the Tech Magnificent Seven. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist at the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Ryan, thank you for joining us today on the Noon Business Hour. And this is a week with a great deal of market movers. We have the jobs report coming out on Friday. We have the Fed's preferred inflation number. And then we have a number of members of the Magnificent Seven reporting their quarterly earnings, and all of that taking place over the steady hum of tariff anxiety. What has the potential, Ryan, to be the biggest mover of all of them?
Boy, Rob, when you put it like that, it's a busy week. My oh my.
We
get first quarter GDP on Thursday. Now, let's not forget that's backward looking, but that'll be in the news. And honestly, it might be negative, which will definitely be in the news. End of the day, it is earnings, right? And we get it, right? Earnings season so far is coming pretty good. About 73% of all the S&P 500 companies have beaten what was estimated, right? So that's about the long-term average. But the guidance is the big question mark, and we all know why. With the uncertainty over tariffs, with the uncertainty over trade, a lot of companies are almost saying, hey, if things are okay, here's what we're going to earn. If tariffs really slow things down, here's what we're going to earn. So the truth is, forward guidance has been murky at best. But again, like you just said, we've got some huge names that are set to report earnings. Google had earnings, I think it was last Thursday, but they reacted on Friday. Google came out and said, we're going to do a lot of CapEx, capital expenditures, earnings were good, there's still growth. So let's see what these other large, like you said, the Mag 7 names have to say, because we know they're so, so very important for how this economy and stock market does.
Now, when it comes to the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditure Index, that's the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, what can we expect when that number comes out?
Gee, I hate to say this. I don't know if it matters, and here's why. I mean, listen, most of the inflation data, Rob, we've been seeing has been just fine. I mean, inflation has not been a problem. What's the Fed saying? What's every economist saying? With likely tariffs coming, we're going to see a spike in inflation in the next couple of months. I'm not minimizing the PCE because, like I said, it's important, but Jerome Powell himself has said a lot that, you know what, we're more worried about, let's say, May and June inflation data with potential tariffs, and that's why the Fed is on pause. Honest to goodness, we don't need short-term interest rates at 4.5% with overall inflation significantly beneath 3%. The reality, though, is the Fed is on pause until we get a little more clarity on trade, but also more clarity of what might happen with inflation the next couple of months.
And then we have the jobs report coming out on Friday morning, and what has the weekly unemployment picture looked like, and what can we expect based on the number of layoff announcements? What can we expect come Friday morning, 7:30 Central Time?
Yeah, that again, I mean, Friday's going to be a big one. I think his earnings are the star of the show this week, but jobs is right there. We're expecting about 110,000 to 115,000 jobs created, I guess it's technically last, or this month, I guess it would be this month, the month of April. That's a little on the slow end, but again, the reality is, what are we seeing in the weekly jobless claims? That's what you're asking. We're not seeing spikes yet, right? We've seen the talk of layoffs, we see potential slowing out there, but the weekly initial jobless claims to us will show that that's indeed happening, and the good news, it hasn't happened yet. Now, the key word might be yet, but we'll get more of a clue, I guess, this Friday, but we love looking every Thursday morning at those initial jobless claims. I believe it came in at 225,000 last Thursday, that'd be the previous week. Honestly, that's kind of the low end of the range, so if it's, I mean, believe me, there's lots of negative news and worry. One of the still positives, Rob, is initial jobless claims haven't spiked yet, so we're going to keep watching that one closely.
Ryan Dietrich, Chief Market Strategist with the Carson Group in Omaha, Nebraska. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, airline ticket prices are heading lower. We'll talk about that.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Domestic airfares are getting cheaper as travel demand softens, prompting airlines to cut capacity and offer deals to boost bookings. Joining us with the details is Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And if we go by the 60-day rule that you can find the best deals on airfares 60 days out from your travel date, that means if you have a July vacation, you're probably shopping now. What can you expect if you are trying to book airfare for summer vacations in July and August?
Absolutely no one knows, including the airlines themselves, who in their first quarter financial calls all said, yeah, all the guidance we gave you for 2025 off the boards. A lot of what you just heard from Ryan Dietrich about, you know, the Fed and maybe the jobs reports, travel is the very pointy end of the stick, Rob. It is the first thing that leisure travelers cut. Average people, when they're unsure, maybe they don't take that vacation. It's certainly the first thing that businesses cut. So the airlines are facing a real paucity of demand right now, but they just don't know what the future holds. So we're beginning to see the deals. We're also beginning to see the capacity cuts, and we might see more capacity cuts before we see any real deals.
And what does that look like, though, from a Chicago's perspective? If you're flying, out of Midway on Southwest or American or United out of O'Hare, how is that going to appear to the leisure traveler that's trying to get out of town come July or August?
Well, the first thing, the airlines have been running any piece of equipment they can that's airworthy in the air because of the so-called revenge travel after the pandemic. So there's a lot of planes that they'll happily retire. So routes that you might have thought might be there, like all those RJ regional jets that fly out of O'Hare for American and United, some of them just may disappear and the routes will go away. Elsewhere where they can't cut too much capacity, there's where you'll see the deals. We've already seen one. I haven't seen this deal in years, a first class / business class fare sale between the United States and Canada, for obvious reasons. The Canadians aren't coming here already, so they need to, they can't cut much capacity, so they're juicing up the fare deals. The Europeans clearly have been booking away, so that's where we might see it next, is some late, and I would say late August, early September, fare sales to Europe. Right now, the flights are still all booked for, late June or all of July and early August. But right around late August, as schools go back at various parts of the country, that's where you might see the sales overseas.
And then when we're talking about certain signs of uncertainty, pardon the phrasing there, but certain signs of uncertainty, it's government travel that goes away, it's business travel that goes away, and it's interesting you mentioned business travel because that was something that never really fully recovered from COVID-19 to begin with. That maybe what could have been a meeting at a hotel in some far flung locale 6 or 7 years ago could just very easily be accomplished with a Zoom call. So what was the state of business travel, and how far does it have to fall?
It wasn't great, and it wasn't great coming back, and it doesn't have to fall a lot. I say this often to people, and this makes a lot of sense in the Chicago market. You don't have to stop sending people to a trade show in McCormick Place. You can say, well, last year we sent 5 people. This year we'll send 4. That's a 20% cut in business travel right there, even though you're still sending folks to the trade show at McCormick Place. Leisure travel has far, Rob, no one's seen anything like how leisure travel rebounded after the pandemic, and it really obscured what I think will be a longer-term decline in business travel. But, you know, your clumsy wording is what we're all doing. We're all falling back on the Donald Rumsfeld unknown unknowns. We just don't know. We've never seen this. We don't know what's going to happen when your tariffs are coming, tariffs are going. You know, it makes for an impossible environment to plan in. Even a vacation is impossible to plan.
One of the all-time great turns of the phrase. Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, Americans rethinking their grocery habits to save money.
Compounding your interest with an economy of words. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
New numbers show 9 in 10 Americans are changing how they shop for groceries to save money, even higher earners. Joining us to discuss this trend is Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, the website theretaildoc.com. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And if there's one thing that you learned from either listening to this show and more importantly, listening to your segments on this show, is that the layout of store shelves, whether it's your supermarket or a place you go at the mall, tells a very interesting story. And what is that store layout telling us now?
Well, that's interesting, because in this survey that just came out, it's that the wealthy households right now are acting poor. So when 85% of 100-plus earners are changing their grocery habits, it's showing that this inflation isn't just squeezing wallets. It's rewriting shopper behavior across all income levels. And I can tell you that 38% said that they're avoiding impulse buys. And that's where, you know, retailers' goldmine is. So if customers are actually saying, I'm not going to do that, add one more thing to the cart, stores are going to feel this at the register and then subsequently in their balance sheets.
And one thing that some shoppers are saying is that they're a lot more comfortable buying the store brand versus a name brand. But at the same time, the store brand has improved by leaps and bounds compared to 30 years ago.
It has, but I think, you know, the generics have always been around with us. What's not mentioned in these surveys is I think people are deciding that they'll pay for something else and they'll trade down for, I don't know, scratchier toilet paper, or they'll, generic dishwasher liquid. But for their pasta sauce or something else, they might make that additional purchase. And here's the other thing that's really concerning is tariffs haven't started on these CPG brands. And so if people are already saying this and these tariffs taxes basically go into effect as said, this is going to rewrite everyone's shopping behaviors. We're in unknown territory starting in the next several weeks.
That seems to be the theme of this program today. Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. Find him online at theretaildoc.com. Still ahead, tapping into your 401k can be risky, but sometimes in emergencies it's necessary.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
we get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Noon Business Hour continues. The markets are lower. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, thank you for joining us today. And what is an investor to do in times like these, Jack, where uncertainty is the name of the game and people don't even know what tomorrow is going to bring, much less 3 months from now? And we have a lot of potential market movers in tech this week. So what's the game plan?
Yeah, we have a very busy earnings week this week, Rob, with I'm going to say four or so of the Mag 7 reporting. Let's see, Meta, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, all reporting, in addition to a variety of companies like McDonald's and others. But I think, you know, what I will do is listen to management's guidance, if there is any. You keep in mind that most of the airlines pulled all their guidance. They just don't have the visibility into the summer travel season. But we'd love to hear what some of these large companies and management do believe will likely take place with these tariffs.
I know don't believe, you shouldn't really put a whole lot of stock in what you see on social media, but everybody, financial Twitter and Wall Street Twitter are pretty dynamic communities. And you have the data that's coming out. You have guidance or attempts at guidance in earnings reports. But at the same time, you have all the anecdata as well. You have the stories about freight from China falling off a cliff, and ports are empty, or ships are stuck in ports overseas. And when you look at all of that, where can you find a storyline about what's going to happen as far as economic activity is concerned in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, so right now, you're absolutely right. We don't have hard economic data to really point to, so we're kind of looking at, we're looking for stories, looking for those kinds of things. I think one of the things I certainly pay attention to, at least initially, are the confidence figures. So, as you know, we're going to get consumer confidence later this week. We had the University of Michigan conference confidence a couple weeks ago. That's certainly pretty dour. And so if you expect that consumers' behavior will likely mirror their attitudes, that suggests perhaps households are going to start to pull back. You know, we can look for similar evidence on the corporate side. We've got small business confidence that we can track, and of course, investor confidence as well.
And the other thing that's really interesting to note is that the markets the last couple of weeks really rally on a sliver of a silver lining when it comes to possibly dialing back some of these trade policies, that they really will rally on the Jim Carrey. So you're telling me there's a chance of possibly lowering tariffs and going back to the way things were?
Yeah, that's it. I think, already, by delaying tariffs for 90 days, reducing, tariff rates, for example, can be seen as incrementally good news. I think the one thing we have to keep in mind is that the market is a reflection of reality versus expectations. And as long as expectations are very, very low, then the opportunity for reality to beat those expectations starts to improve.
Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer, Crescent Capital in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, raiding your 401k is a risky proposition, but in a real emergency, it just might be the right move. We'll talk about when that makes sense. Coming up next,
it's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Financial experts always say to avoid tapping into your 401k at all costs, but sometimes, especially in an emergency, it actually makes sense. Joining joining us to discuss is Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor of VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And tapping into your 401k before you retire is in an emergency break class type of situation. Where do you what situations necessitate tapping into your 401k, and what are some things that you can do to avoid reaching that break glass situation?
Rob, you're exactly right. I think we need to start by defining what an emergency is not. It is not an emergency that you buy a new sports car and access your 401k. It is not an emergency that you go and rob your 401k to pay for your child's higher education. Again, we can borrow money in all sorts of ways, but I've yet to see someone get a loan for retirement. So what should we do if we're drowning in double digit interest rates on our credit cards? A 401k loan probably makes sense. If we're on the cusp of having an eviction or having some other issue that came out of left field that has that gravity, a 401k loan makes sense. But far too many people are abusing 401k loans to handle wants versus tackling emergency needs.
Now, when we talk about a 401k loan, are we talking about borrowing directly from your retirement account, or is it a loan from a third party that is backed up with your 401k as collateral?
Rob, you're exactly right. A 401k loan is something that you're going to navigate and access directly through your 401k provider, your workplace retirement plan. You're essentially borrowing from yourself. The 401k plan is just doing the administration. And the benefit of borrowing from a 401k loan is you're not receiving taxable income today. But remember, borrowing from a 401k means you have to make sure you repay that loan, typically over 5 years. So I always remind people, if we need to borrow, understand that money's going to have to get paid back, meaning your paycheck is going to go down. Your take-home pay is going to go down as you repay that loan to yourself.
Now, what happens if you lose your job during that repayment period?
Well, one of the reasons that people shouldn't borrow is if you're in an industry or a business that your employment might not be durable, it's time not to take a loan, because many 401k providers require you, if you separate from service from the company, to repay the entirety of the loan within a 90-day period. So, Rob, if someone goes and takes out the maximum 401k loan, which is 50% of value up to $50,000, it'd be quite punitive to have to pay back the full $50,000 in 90 days for many people, don't you think?
Now, if some people are in an emergency and they don't have access to credit, or their credit is poor and they are facing the possibility of borrowing money at an incredibly high interest rate or an elevated interest rate, when does borrowing money, even with a higher interest rate, make sense when stacked up against that 401k withdrawal that comes with penalties and the 10% income tax payment?
Well, again, the whole benefit here is this. I do not, and I repeat, do not want people to take a taxable distribution from their 401k where they have to pay taxes and pay a 10% premature distribution penalty. What I do want people to do is, if you have credit card debt and you're waking up every single month with a financial hangover and you've got double-digit interest rates on your credit card, do structure a proper 401k loan and then repeat after me, thou shall never, ever, ever carry a credit card balance thereafter. That's the strategy that Americans should be deploying for 401k loans relative to credit card debt.
Craig Bolanos, thank you for joining us today. Co-founder and wealth advisor, VestGen Wealth Partners, Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online at GetRetiredStayRetired.com.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Hey, it's Stock Picker Monday on the Noon Business Hour. Welcome in Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, thank you for joining us today. Two selections today, and let's take the second one first, and that is a little known search engine. It's going to be bigger than InfoSeek one day, called Google.
Yeah, good afternoon, Rob. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, very, very not well-known name in Google. Listen, this is a stock now called Alphabet that trades 17 times earnings. It hasn't traded that level in a decade or more. It was a $200 stock 3 months ago, now trading $159. They should earn $9.50 this year. You're just not going to get this stock this cheap very often. And in sell-offs like we've had this year, there's dislocation. Some stocks just get beat up for no reason. This is one of them. They beat earnings just recently by 40%. It's just as cheap as it's going to get. They have monopoly power in search, or basically monopoly power in search. They have AI and Gemini. They're in the right spots. They check all the boxes of stocks that we like. We like, you know, stocks with quality leadership and monopoly positions in growth industries. That's Google. This is still Sergey Brin and Larry Page's baby, even though they've stepped down as CEOs. I would bet on this stock at this price any day, and it's one of our largest positions. So the two names I'm giving you today are our two top equity positions, and we believe that when this storm is over, these stocks will both go back to all-time highs.
And what do you like, is moving on to the second stock on this Stock Picker Monday, what do you like about Interactive Brokers Group?
So founder Thomas Petterfi, another guy you want to bet on. It's an amazing story. Hungarian-born, self-made, mega billionaire. He's, in my opinion, one of the most brilliant traders and entrepreneurs in the investment space. iBroker is the best trading platform for sophisticated investors. I use it myself, as do many other pros. Trades at 23 times. Compare that to Robinhood, which is 31 times. You know, some of the exchanges, CBOE and CME, they're around 30 times, 28 times. This is a cheap stock. It has the most powerful platform for traders there is. It was trading $230 in February. You know, it's as I look right now, it's $167. It is our single biggest position. When this storm is over, it's going back to all-time highs. So I'm giving you guys two stocks that it's just a matter of time before they go right back to where they were, which means 20 to 40% gains in these names. So I like iBroker. I like Google for the long term.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app. And of course, if you want to take advantage of his stock selections on this Stock Picker Monday, they are Interactive Brokers Group, IBKR, and Google, G-O-O-G-L.